24. That's what I said to you last week. More in 24. Last year's gone. Much of what happened last year, we cannot repeat. By the way, Billy is a bachelor for now. So ladies, you can cook for him. We can't repeat much of last year. It's gone. We cannot undo the wrongs. We cannot correct the mistakes that were made last year. It's water under the bridge. Virtually what is left of last year are memories. Pleasant memories, not so pleasant memories, good memories, joyful memories, sad memories. But there's memories. That's all that's left of last year. So it's virtually impossible to hold on to last year. Let it go. Whatever happened, let's move on. And we began the new year with the intent to read a chapter a day from the book of Proverbs for the month of January. 31 days in January, 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Amazed about the reports that I've received from people, how blessed they are with certain statements within the book of Proverbs. And of course, with the intent to develop people to fall in love with the Word of God and the Word of God to penetrate the hearts of the people. So it's important to study the Word. It's important reading, studying, applying the Word. But it's also a time that I've seen it pay off. It paid off some great dividends. Somebody sent me a picture of his son. The son was reading the book of Proverbs, but he fell asleep, and right next to him, of course, was the Bible. And the guy sent me a picture, and he says, "I'm so proud of my son. He's never done this, and I just wanted to share it with you. Here's my son, fast asleep, Bible next to him, and he's been reading the book of Proverbs." That's inspirational to see that happening with young people. But off the bat, a few verses arrested my attention as we started the book of Proverbs again for this year, in particularly Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, some things arrested my attention. And this is what I would like you to notice, the highlighted words. Their purpose. The wisest man of all the world in that time wrote these proverbs, and he said, their purpose. The purpose of what? The proverbs. The purpose of these proverbs that are 31 chapters, their purpose is to do what? The purpose is to teach people wisdom. Are we born with wisdom? Or we get taught, ask God and He will give wisdom to us. But the purpose, to teach people wisdom. But don't stop. And what? When does discipline start in your life? Virtually the day you were born. Virtually the day you were born. But when you get to the point that, and mothers, you know more than what I know, you want to feed the baby, and the baby says, no. And you get so, open the door and mouth, I'll put it in. So we find the purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. But it goes on and says, notice, to help them understand the insights of the wise. They are wise people. And these proverbs are going to help us understand the insight. How do they think? How do they operate? Why do they do what they are doing? And then, of course, in verse 3, you'll notice again, what's the word that is repeated? Purpose. Nicole, go back to verse 2 again quickly. Notice number 2, the green. Their purpose is to teach. Verse 3 again, Nicole. Their purpose is to teach. But notice, he goes on and he says, to teach people to live a what? Guys, if you want to be successful in life, you've got to have a disciplined life. If you want to be successful in finances, you've got to have a disciplined life in anything. So it says to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. So successful lives are just off the bat, easy? No, 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 no. Successful lives comes through discipline. And then, of course, through the successful life, how do I get there? To help them do what is right, just, and fair. And off the bat, that got my attention. Looking at the process of development, developing me, developing you, through the Proverbs. But I also recognize that life is a journey. There's so much to it. Joy, laughter, sorrow, sadness, life, death. This cycle continues the rest of your life and my life. There's no ways you and I can enter 2024 and say, you know what? I'd love to have a year without disappointment. Guess what? There's going to be disappointment. I'd love to have no hurts in 2024. Guess what? You're going to get hurt. I'd love to go and get some money in 2024. So we've got all these aspirations, but we've got to recognize that life moves in cycles. And the cycle which we had in the past continues. There's going to be joy, there's going to be laughter, there's going to be sorrow, there's going to be sadness, there's going to be death. That being said, being a child of God, we do have a wonderful future and a present help. As a child of God, although life cycle continues, we do have something that is beautiful, and that is a wonderful future. Not only here, we can have a good future, but beyond this earth. And then, of course, a present help, namely the Holy Spirit. And as many people have made New Year's resolutions, and as I mentioned to you, those things don't fly with me, New Year's resolutions. All I want is more in 24. More. Cut the 24 out. More. More what? To have more from the biblical perspective, you've actually got to do some things. For me and for you as people that are family of us, we are family, we want more in 24. But from the biblical standpoint, to have more in 24, I've realized several things. One of the things that I've realized is less of me and more of him. So that's more. And that's what John said in John 3:30. His disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, called him Rabbi, why is he baptizing more people than you are baptizing? Referring to Jesus. Weren't you there and weren't you the one that acknowledged who he was? And yet he's baptizing, and that the Bible says, the scripture says, Jesus never actually baptized anybody. His disciples were baptizing. And I appreciate what John says. He must increase. In other words, the job that was given to me was a forerunner. The job given to me was to prepare the way. But he has caught up. And now it's no longer about me. It's about him, referring to Jesus. And that's why he says, he, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. In parentheses, he must grow more, there's that word, more prominent, and I must do what? More of Jesus. More of his word. I must grow less. Can you grow less? Yeah. I must be less prominent. 2024, more of him, less of me. More prominent to Christ, I must grow less. And then, of course, as I learn from these biblical principles and I look at the examples of these guys and John and Paul, and you find to have more is to allow Christ to be part of your life in a greater way. So can I have him in bits and pieces? No, I can't have him. He's there, but it's also me that must allow him to do more. I love what Paul says in Philippians 3, 13, 14. And this is something that you and I can take to heart this morning. Brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is what I do. Read it with me. I don't look back. You can get stuck in the past and you can allow the past to haunt you. Cut the past. Let the past be the past. Can I erase it from my mind? No, I cannot. It's there. Do I have to focus on it? No. The past is the past. We may have done some horrible, miserable, terrible things last year. Cut it out. If you've repented, it's gone. Let's move on. I don't look back. But I appreciate this God's Word translation. I don't look back. But what I do, this is urgency now. Now I am lengthening my stride. Because I'm excited about what God is about to do. You see, folks, the more you pursue life for yourself, the further from Christ you will be. More in 24 is less of me and more of him. In other words, not half Jesus, half me. There is no such thing. More of Jesus, less of me, not half Jesus, half me. He demands and deserves to be the sole ruler in my life. The deity in my life. In other words, he's not interested in a dual partnership. He's not interested in a dual reign. Many times we say, well, I'm in partnership with Christ. You know what? I'm just going to be the silent partner and let him just do everything. But many times in our lives, we want to govern, we want to rule, we want to reign, because that's our nature. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 6, 24, no one can do what? No half Jesus, no half me. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted, important, he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Devotion, look at devotion. Committed here. So we notice we are sold out to Christ and we want more of him. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot, according to the word of God. But we also notice you cannot serve God and self either. You cannot serve God and self. We've got this nature that is so different, so against God, until we got born again, and now we got the nature of Christ, but the two natures are in conflict. But Jesus also said in Matthew 16, 24. You see, folks, let's learn from these things this morning. As we venture into 2024, I cannot serve two masters. Guys, make up your mind. When I say guys, folks, make up your mind who you're going to serve. You cannot serve God on your conditions. You cannot serve God on your terms. And I'm speaking in general, us. We cannot serve God on our terms because we don't own him. He owns us. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my... How many people desired to be his disciple? Let's go this morning. How many of us are disciples of Christ? All of us. Now, if we are all disciples of Christ, what is the prerequisite then? What should we do? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. You see what I'm saying? Not half Jesus, not half me. Deny yourself, which means disregard lose sight of. I'm amazed how people negotiate with God. I'm amazed how many Christians set their standard with God. In other words, God will understand, I'm too busy for this. I can't do this. God doesn't understand. You are trying to make people understand that God understands, but God has set the perimeters. He says, if you want to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own what? Am I a zombie? No. I'm under new ownership. So who makes the call? He does. Take up his cross and follow me. Oh my gosh. This year is going to be a roller coaster year in politics. It's going to be a roller coaster year in finances. It's going to be a roller coaster year within the two dominant parties within our country. And take up his cross and follow me, which means cleave steadfastly to me. I shared with you, I think it was last Sunday, with the amount of Christians that were murdered in Nigeria, the amount of Christians that were murdered in Kenya. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. So it means reversing the way we naturally think and act. It means putting Christ in the place where we would normally put ourselves. In other words, it means less concern for how others see you, but also can they see Christ in us? We've all got our work cut out. I have my desires. I have set goals. But at the end of the day, I may have set these goals, but God can interrupt what I've planned. If I follow his leading, and that's what I would love to do again this year. Lord, where you lead me, I want to follow. Whatever needs to go in my life needs to go. Less focus on what you deserve from others and more focus on what you owe Christ. We have so much self-interest. At times we are so touchy. At times it's all about me. But when I look at the Word of God, I find something totally different concerning the disciples of Christ. Less focus on what I deserve from others. If others don't give you the honor you deserve, don't let it affect you. Why not? Because you belong to him. Don't let your walk with Christ be affected by what people think, what people say, or their attitude towards you. You are a child of God. That's all that matters. Less preoccupation with your perceived rights. I've got my rights. And more focus on what is it to be a servant of God. Something, once again, concerning this great man of God got my attention. And I use this quite often, and you've read it a number of times. In Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been what? What does it mean? What does it mean? I've been crucified with Christ. Am I dead? Am I physically dead? Remember what Solomon said. These proverbs are there to teach, to discipline. And now we look at somebody that was a very successful follower of Jesus Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And I myself no longer live, referring to his old nature, his aspirations, his dreams. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I myself no longer live, but Christ lives where? If Christ lives in me, can people see that? Let's reverse that. If I live my own life, my own way, can people see through my way of living what kind of a person I am? Can they? Through my vocabulary, can they understand what kind of a person I am? Through my behavior, can they understand what kind of a person I am? Through my lifestyle, can they determine my character? Yeah. But then, can't that be said of Christ? If Christ is living in me, that's what he says, but Christ lives in me, can people then see what my character is like pertaining to my life in Christ? My words, my actions, can people see that? If I proclaim to be a Christian, I proclaim to let Christ be living in me, is it evident? And can the people observing me say, you know what? He loves God. They should be able to. Because if they can make that decision prior to me having Christ in my life, they should be able to make that decision with Christ in me. And Paul says, but Christ lives in me. Or does Christ just visit me? And the real life I now have within this body is a result of my trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, you and I have our marching orders as a follower of God. It's spelled out. I'm dead to self, no more of me, only him living through me. And with each choice that comes your way, you exercise more of him and less of you. God, how do you want me to operate? How do you want me to serve? How do you want me to handle this situation? What do you want of me? So the decision is more of him in 24. And that affects my behavior. Oh, that affects my behavior. That's now, we need the Holy Spirit. We're going to go through a number of verses this morning. And if it applies to you, shout out, ouch. We need the Holy Spirit as we venture into these verses. Because throughout God's word, we are told to do several things. Let me help you. Let's help ourselves. We are told to control our speech. How good are we with that? Oh, sometimes I slip up. Sometimes I can be hard. Sometimes I can be sarcastic. Sometimes I can say some cutting words. He wants us to control our speech. He wants us to control our thought life. He wants us to control our attitudes, and he wants us to control our attitude, actions and attitudes. Going back to Solomon, these things, these proverbs are there to discipline you, to teach you. And now I want to see what God has for me. What does he want of me as a child of God? Ephesians chapter 4. There's a number of verses that we're going to go through all the way down. But that isn't the way Christ taught you. If you have really heard his voice and learned from him the truth concerning himself, then throw off your old evil what? If you've heard from him, if you proclaim you are a follower of him, throw off your old evil nature, the old you. How many of the old you is still prominent? How many of the old you still flares up? The old you that was a partner in your evil ways, ways that was against God, ways that did not please God. Notice what it says. The old you was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through. What did it have? Full of lust and sham. Now remember what I said just prior to this. That throughout God's word, we are told to control our speech, our thought life, our attitudes, our actions. Don't use the excuse, well, that's just the way I am. No. When you became a Christian, the Bible says you became a new creation. You've got the nature of Christ. So don't say, well, that's just the way I am. Change, mate. Change. Because I want more of him in 24. We're going to grow together. Now, your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly doing what? Come on, let's read 23 together. Now your attitudes and thoughts must. Can I challenge you this morning? Hang on now. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Turn to somebody and say, your attitude's got to change. Your attitude's got to change. Your thoughts. Okay, let's make it more user-friendly. If you want to put your arm around somebody, say, our attitude and thoughts got to change. Now, your attitudes and thoughts must, imperative. It's not negotiable. As a follower of Christ, this is not negotiable. I've got to work on it. Darn it, it's so hard. Some of my attitudes I love. But does he love it? No, I've got to change. Now, your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing. For the what? Not the worse. Not the worse. How quick is it for the worse? Ooh, very, very quick. Very quick. It's got to change. In other words, there's got to be improvement. Yes, there's got to be a change that brings glory and honor to God. And that's why it says, now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Yes, you must. Oh, my God. That's why I said we need the Holy Spirit, guys. More of Jesus in 24. More of the Holy Spirit in 24. More of the Word in 2024. Yes, you must be a new. You must be a new and what? A new and different person. Change is instantaneous when you accept Christ, but it's also progressive. Instantaneous, you're a new creation. But now it's the laying aside and the clothing. Stripping, putting on the new. Putting to death, others come to life. Yes, you must be a new and different person. Holy, which means what? Separated and good. Notice what it says there. New and different person. Holy, separated, and doing that which is good, upright. Now we got a responsibility. What is the responsibility? You see, this new nature is not a nudity camp. This is not where the nudity camp started. Clothe yourself. Don't walk around nude. Clothe. I mean, speak, not physically, spiritually. Notice, clothe yourself with this new nature. Whoa, 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 whoa. I've got to clothe myself. Do I go to JCPenney's? Do I go to Macy's? Do I go to Marshall's? Do I go to Walmart? Where do I go? Well, you go to heaven. Heaven's bank. You go to the Word of God. Clothe yourself with this new nature. Okay, now he's bringing the contrast of the old nature with the new nature. And he says in verse 25, stop lying to each other. You know, there are folks that are habitual liars. When they say good morning, you first got to check that the sun is out. Stop lying to each other. A lie breeds a lie breeds a lie. Just be honest. But it hurts. Be honest. Stop lying, man. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. Why? Because the truth sets free. I know that refers to Jesus, but the truth does set free. It's easier to deal with truth than a lie. It's easier to start working with somebody that tells the truth and instead of a person that keeps on lying. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. Why? For we are parts of each other. And when, notice this, guys, more of him in 24. Now what he's saying here is collectively. In other words, we are individuals, but at the same time, we are part of a corporate body. That's what he's saying over here. We're going to see that. Notice, stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. For we collectively are parts of what? You're a part of me. I'm a part of you. That's what he says. I think this is beautiful and I think it's so amazing. We are parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, guess what? We are hurting ourselves. The body is hurt. If you are angry, don't sin by nursing a grudge. Now, somebody may have offended you last year. Don't hold a grudge. It's not worth it, guys. It can only breed. If you are angry, don't sin by nursing a grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Like I always tell you, start the fight early in the morning and then get over it quickly. When you are angry, you what? See that? Oh, the devil that, you know what? Stop giving the devil all this credit. We give the devil too much. Yes, he's strong. Yes, he's powerful. But God is stronger and God is more powerful and God should get more focus than what the devil gets. We just blame the devil for everything. The devil made me do this. The devil told me this. The heck with the devil. He's a loser. Nicole, go one back for me again. For when you are angry, when you are angry, you what? You give a mighty foothold to the devil. And does he love that foothold? Man, he's going to hold on. He's going to hold. You give him a foothold, he's going to open up other doors for you. So now we're dealing with lying. We're dealing with anger. And now we get to another one. If anyone is stealing, he must stop it and begin using those hands of his for honest work so he can do what? It's my money. I worked for it. I've got to give enough to the government. I want us to move from if anyone is stealing, he must stop it and just look beyond that. And look at what we possess. I've said it over and over. I've complimented you people last week for your commitment during the festive season, the way that you folks have supported the ministry, not only that, your commitment, your loyalty. There's no other place here that I would want to be than amongst my brothers and sisters. You guys have risen to the top. You guys have committed, shown commitment through all those services. And in next month, I'm going to show you how prosperous God has made us, how God has blessed us. But I want you to look at this. If anyone is stealing, he must stop it and begin using those hands of his for honest work. So if you work, what do you get? Money. You get a return. Is that return all mine? Think about this. Look at the scripture. I work hard. It's my money. Well, in reality, it's not your money. It's not my money. It's the owner's money. Who's the owner? Him. Because, have I got a scripture for that? He's bought us with a price. So who owns me? So the money that I get, who owns it? Begin using those hands of his for honest work so he can give to others in need. Wow. We have a responsibility. One of the reasons I believe that God has blessed us over all the 23 years Heather and I have been here, our hand has always been open to give. That in itself also has generated a giving spirit to people and brought people into this building that have a giving spirit. So what's happened? If our hands are closed and don't give, your hands are closed, you never give to anybody in need. If your hands are closed, it's like the Dead Sea. You've only got what's in here. But if we give, your hand is open. And that's why the Bible says it's better to give than receive. But if your hand's open by giving, you're going to receive. And that's why I believe God has prospered us over the 23 years over here. It's been a giving fellowship, a giving church. Within our midst are givers. Is it the amount? No, it's the attitude. If anyone is stealing, stop it. Work so that you can get money and give others to others in need. And then, of course, now he's dealing with our behavior, clothing ourselves, stripping ourselves of the old trash, the old junk stuff. And he says, don't use bad language. Now, we've got to define that. What is bad language? Oh, we can think of a number of things. But I also know that culturally, language changes. Where we originate from, we may use a word, and that word is solely acceptable in that culture. You come here and you use that same word, woo! Different connotation to that word. Especially if you're going to use the word hooter. It's not a problem. We know what a hooter is in South Africa. It's a different hooter over here. And we're not going there. Don't use bad language. Say what? Only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to. And what will give them a blessing. Verse 30 is a question. Can I cause the Holy Spirit sorrow? Can I? Yeah. Yep. How do I cause sorrow to the Holy Spirit? Sin? Unbelief? Don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. If we say we are followers of Christ and we don't do that which a disciple of Christ is designed to do and instructed to do, we cause the Holy Spirit sorrow. Does it matter? Yeah, it does. So that's why more of Jesus in 24, more of his word in 24, more of the Holy Spirit in 24. Don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, oh my gosh, remember. And that's where we go to the Old Testament, we go into the New Testament. Whenever you take communion, and I think next week we're having communion, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what Christ has done. Remember, he is the one. Wait a bit now, hang on now. Let's read this in its context. Don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, I'm telling you something important now, according to the author. He, who's he? The Holy Spirit marks you to be present on what? On that day when salvation from sin will be complete. Wow. So the Holy Spirit is part and parcel of our walk with Jesus Christ. He observes our lifestyle, monitors our lifestyle. And then, of course, we've got to look at 31, and so far I've heard no ouches, but that might be an ouch now. Stop being mean. Okay. Who was this letter written to? Christians or non-Christians? So do you think there were problems within this community that need to be addressed? Yeah. The same in our community. There's always challenges. And he says, stop being mean, bad-tempered, angry, quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others. Who's the others? Who's the others? The world? The people you work with? Or is he actually referring to the body? To live with saints above will be glory. To live with saints below, that's another story. Stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry, quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others. Read the last one with me. Should? Why not? Why not? Grieves the Holy Spirit. What else? Unlike Christ. What else? It has a negative impact on the fellowship, on the body. So are we just mechanical? Are we robots? No, not at all. We've got a free will, but we've got to constantly work at ensuring that this free will of ours does the will of him who redeemed us. Stop being mean to one another. Stop quarreling. Verse 32. Instead. Now, he's given us the negative. Told us what to get rid of. To clothe ourselves. He gets to the quarreling part. And he says, stop this quarreling now. Stop this meanness. Stop this hatred. Instead of verse 31, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Christ. Well, I don't want to do it. I don't want to forgive that person. How long are you going to hold on to unforgiveness? I don't want to be in that person's presence. Well, that person is your brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to sacrifice, and we've got to learn what Paul says. I have been crucified. And this is the goal, guys. Come on. We can do it. Instead, be kind to each other. It's difficult. There's times that when I'm supposed to be kind, I'm harsh. Be kind to each other. Tender-hearted. I don't have much tender-heartedness. Forgiving one another. I want the job done. Let's get the job done now. Don't give me excuses. Forgiving one another just as God has forgiven you. Because why? Because why? There's the thrust. Because you belong to Christ. And if you belong to Christ, you've got to do what Christ wants you to do. Ouch. Ouch. But how do I go about getting more in 24? How do I go about it? Let's go back to where I started in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. The purpose of these Proverbs is to teach people wisdom. I lack wisdom. Well, the Bible says, ask and it will be given to you liberally. To teach people wisdom and discipline. What is the most difficult thing to discipline in your life? Tina says, yeah. Your mouth, Dennis. And I will say amen to that. Because doesn't he say, if you can control the tongue? Yeah, but the thought starts here. Yeah, that is true. But sometimes the thought is a silent thought, but this thing. And that's why the Bible says, control this thing. I did a session on that many, many years ago. Maybe I must do it again in 24. Discipline this thing. The purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Verse 3, their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined lives. Not my will, Jesus said when he was in the garden, but his will be done. Purpose to teach people to live disciplined and successful. Guys, I believe in success. I believe in successful lives for every single one of you. But with successfulness, there's standards, there's prerequisites. At Crossway, it's successful. The reason it's successful is because of predetermined stuff we've taken and done. Successful lives, to help them to do what is right, just, and fair. So now let's invest in our lives. We know what this is all about. We want to live disciplined lives. We're going to be successful. We want more in 24. Let's invest in our lives. Investing in our lives starts with Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. And we're going to close with that this morning. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. This was amazing words that he jotted down. Comes to the end of his life. Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Tina, battle starts here. Fix the stuff. Fix your thoughts. What does the word fix mean? Not repair. Correct. Focus. Fix your thoughts on what? What he did, what she did, what the boss did. No. What the pastor did, what the pastor's wife did, what the singer. No. Fix your thoughts on what is. Notice the investment. Notice the change. Notice the prerequisites laid out over here. If we do this, we can apply it to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 about a disciplined life and success within the Christian life. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure. In other words, he's eliminating every form of backbiting and eliminating any form of harshness and eliminating every form of gossip. That's what he's doing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and what else? Admirable. Think. Fix your thoughts. Process. Keep on thinking. In other words, meditate. There's an old word that is stew. It's like referring to a cow that just chews it over and over and over. Think about things that are excellent. How many of you can find fault in me? All your hands should have gone up already. But now, instead of finding fault, what must you do? Things in everybody's life. Think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Notice verse 9. Not only reading the word, but applying the word. Not only knowing, but doing something about it. Keep putting in practice. Ongoing. Keep putting in practice all you have learned from me. Notice, all you have learned and received from me. Everything you have heard from me and saw me doing. In other words, when you put things into practice, that are prescribed in the Word of God. Notice what it says. Then the God of peace will be with you. Okay, let's play devil's advocate. If I don't put all this in practice, what is the result? No peace of God. But if I do the things that God wants me to do, what's the result? Then the God of peace will be with you. So you and I have got our work cut. Next week's going to be great. So it means that Dennis once in a while is going to be two Sundays in a row in church. So then the God of peace will be with you. More in 24. I want you to listen to the song by Michael W. Smith. More Love, More Power. And as the song is played, just meditate on that. Nicole, let's try and go through. Kev, let's see if we can do it. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. More of you. Yes, Lord. More love, more power, more of you. More of you in 24, Lord. More. More of you. Desire that. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. More love. Just more power. More of you. Just say that, more of you in my life, Lord. More of you. And I will worship you, Lord. I will praise you. Yes. More of you. Oh, we love you. More love. More power. More of you. More of you in 24. Receive that. Receive that message this morning. I must just decrease. He must increase. I won't look back. I will lengthen my stride. Cut 23 out. And say, this is 24. More love. More power. More of you. That's how we start the first Sunday in 2024. Just more love. For I've been crucified. You've been crucified. And Christ lives his life in me. Just more of you, Lord. I must decrease. My way is going to be your way. While your eyes are closed, if you don't mind just closing your eyes for a few minutes, and musicians are going to